We turn to Genesis chapter 50, the last chapter. Verse 25, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. And I'm going to speak upon the prediction of the Exodus. Joseph here becomes a prophet. And he says that the day is going to come when God will visit them and they'll go out of Egypt. And when that day comes, he wants them to gather up his bones and take them too. Now, next Sunday evening, I'm going to speak upon the last verse, and it is the coffin in Egypt. And this will be the last message. And then the following Sunday night, I plan to then to give you the entire book of Genesis in one sermon. I've spent over 2 years giving it to you thus far. So I think maybe we'll bring it all together in one grand summary, and that'll be 2 weeks from tonight. And I do hope that everybody will come and see us as we summarize the entire book of Genesis. And then we will close out this series which we've had. But tonight, Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Remember, when Jacob died, he also took an oath of Joseph. Then when he died, he was to carry him back and bury him in the land of Canaan. And he told him where he wanted to be buried, in the cave of Machpelah. But Jacob said, I want you to do it right away. And so they did it. Joseph got leave of absence from Pharaoh for the necessary time to take care of the mourning and the journey. And he went back to the land of Canaan and he buried his father. And then he came back together with the sons, and they dwelt in the land of Egypt. And as I read this, I wondered, why didn't Joseph say, carry my bones immediately like you did our father? But he didn't. He said, you wait until the time comes when you all go out, and then take me out too at that time. It's an interesting thing how men in their thinking and as they consider their affairs, they differ. Why didn't Jacob say, well, you bury me here and at the end of the reign of Joseph take me up? Or you bury me here and then when the day comes and you all go back, why, you can take me back at that time. But no, Jacob said, I came down here now and as soon as I'm passed away, you take me back and bury me in the land of Canaan. And they did it, and it was a tremendous witness, tremendous testimony to everybody. All of Egypt knew about it. Pharaoh's household knew about it. All the people in the land of Canaan knew about it. Jacob was being brought back to be buried in the tomb of his father. But in the case of Joseph, Joseph said, no, you don't need to carry me back now. Just wait. And when you all go out of Egypt, then you can take me. Did you ever stop to think why Joseph may have felt that way? Did you ever stop to think why Joseph said he wanted to stay there in Egypt until they all went out? I think there is in it the most beautiful thought so far as Joseph is concerned. Joseph was the one whom God used to spare the whole nation. Joseph was the one who was a slave, who was a prisoner. Joseph was the one whom God elevated to be the prime minister of Egypt. And in that position, Joseph took care of his brethren, took care of his father, and Joseph told the children of Israel, he told them that he would look after them and he would care for their little ones. And as long as their little ones stayed in Egypt, Joseph's body stayed in Egypt too. You see? No question of what that was in the thought of Joseph. Do you know these great men of God, they considered what God had done with them and the position they occupied, and they were concerned about the memory that they might have after they left? And Joseph desired that his name and his body would remain in Egypt till the last one of the little ones and the children of Israel had left and all gone back safely to Palestine, and there were no more of them in Egypt. And when there were no more of them left in Egypt, Joseph said, I don't want to be left down here either. You carry my bones with you when you leave. Your entire life, beloved, your entire years, everything that you have enters into your testimony. It enters into what you're doing. It really does. And you can see it in your own experience and your own life as you look about. Oh, I don't want to take too much time, but just may I interrupt right here just a moment. I had the greatest experience this morning in preaching in Cape May. First time I preached in Cape May. A sermon. I stood there, we had a wonderful service. Followed our order of service. Just like we, in fact, we took our order of service down and went through it. And here were all these people from around South Jersey and Atlantic City and our own folks, and these folks had come in. We had a wonderful service. And we sang, the church is one foundation, and I had these tingles going up and down my back. I just had the strange feeling that God had brought us to the Admiral and opened this door, and here we were again preaching. Now, do you know that it was in June of 1931 that I preached my first sermon in Atlantic City, almost as near the ocean as I was today? And I went down there to Atlantic City and started out my ministry. And that was in 31. I came here in 33. And by the time 63 comes around, we're back down at Cape May preaching. And it's in this particular area. But when we went to Atlantic City in 1931, and I took Miss McIntyre down there as my bride, and we opened up our little apartments, and you think of those things. There were four young preachers in Atlantic City together. There was David Otis Fuller, who was at the Chelsea Baptist Church and had the great sign, and Christ died for our sins on the top of his church. Duke Fuller, we all call him, is still pastor of the great Wealthy Street Baptist Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. There was Dr. Harold T. Commons. He had the first Baptist Church in Atlantic City. And Dr. Commons is now the president of the Association of Baptists for World Evangelists. And then there was Dr. William Culbertson, who was pastor of the St. John's by the Sea Church, and he's the president of Moody Bible Institute. And the four of us were young men, and we all preached on the boardwalks. I had Thursday nights, and I think Fuller had Friday nights, and we all got down there Sunday night. But there was one thing we couldn't do in those days. We tried to get on the radio in Atlantic City. You couldn't buy time. You couldn't get time. There was no way in the world you could get heard with a program on the radio in Atlantic City. And we left Atlantic City. It was never having a chance to get our testimony on the radio. In fact, we never spoke on the radio in all the time, the months that we preached in Atlantic City. And yet now, in the providences of God, as the years have passed, what happened? We go down to Cape May. We've got a radio station. Atlantic City comes along. The radio station says, we want your broadcast. We want your noonday program. We'll carry your Sunday program without cost to you as a public service. We want you to make your radio program, our station, your Christian Admiral station. And I see these things turning about, and I just am utterly amazed. And the ministry that we had in Atlantic City way back there in 1931, the little Chelsea Presbyterian Church, and we stood and we preached the same thing we're preaching now. We couldn't get it out, but the years have passed, the picture somewhat changed, and now we're speaking to all of Atlantic City twice a day on a radio station, and we're getting these issues before the people. And you look at that ministry, Collingswood, Cape May, Atlantic City, and today I look back over those years as I was standing there preaching the gospel in Cape May, and I want to tell you people, I got a tremendous blessing in my soul that nobody knew anything about. Nobody could understand it. And I want to say to you people that when you become identified with a church and identified with a testimony and identified with a people and your life gets wrapped up in it and the years begin to accumulate and you see what God is doing and the way God is unfolding, I think you begin to feel a little bit like Joseph must have felt. Joseph says, I want to be with you people. I want to stay with you people. And I'll stay right here in Egypt. You can bury my bones here. But when you go out of Egypt,
I go out of Egypt too. And I want to be identified with you people and with the children of Israel. And when I go and the children of Israel ask you questions, what are you carrying this dead man's bones out with you for? What do you got hauling him up here for? You say, well, that's what he asked us to do. Don't you know who Joseph was? Don't you know Joseph is the one who saved us in the days of famine? Don't you know Joseph was the one that God made the prime minister of Egypt? Joseph took a man whom your brethren sold into slavery. Joseph, God took a man who was a prisoner and was put in the dungeon. And God took a man and he made him the prime minister of Egypt and he delivered our people. And when he died, he gave his testimony to the fact that God would deliver us. And he asked us to do it. Now will you turn, please, to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And in this great catalogue where you have the list of the faithful, and we love this beloved chapter, you find in the 22nd verse the one reference to Joseph. Joseph is included, and we're so happy that he is, and the heroes of the faith. In the case of Moses, in the case of Abraham, in the case of Jacob, you have these various references. But notice Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph's bones are in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the great chapter on faith. And Joseph asked that the children of Israel would take him out of Egypt when they went out of Egypt. Now will you turn, please, to Exodus, the 13th chapter in the 19th verse. In the 13th chapter of the book of Exodus. And the 9th verse, let me read the 18th verse for you. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. The children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. They had a lot of things they were carrying with them. Everything they possessed. They didn't leave a hoof. They didn't leave a child. They didn't leave anything. And they took it with them. And though they were loaded down, and though they had everything they could possibly carry with them, Moses said, wait a minute, let's get the bones of Joseph for with him. And so Moses went and got the bones of Joseph, and they carried the bones of Joseph with them out of Egypt. Now will you turn with me to Genesis, the 15th chapter. Clear back to the 15th chapter of the prophecy of Abraham. The testimony here that's given concerning Abraham. And notice the 13th and the 14th verses. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not there, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve I will judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. They were all harnessed up. They had all they could pull. They had all they could take. They came out of Egypt. But now here is the prophet, the Spirit of God, speaking to Abraham and telling him that his seed would be in bondage for 400 years. After that, they would come out with great substance. Now we're told that Joseph said that the Lord would gather them up out of Egypt and take them away. And we're told that that was an act of faith. Joseph by faith. Well, now what was the basis of Joseph's faith in this regard? The basis of Joseph's faith in this matter was first that he knew the promise that God gave to Abraham. He knew it. And he believed.
There's no question but what Joseph knew the word of God. There's no question but this one who had the gift of the interpreting of dreams. There's no question but what he knew the covenant promise that God had made to Abraham concerning his seed, and that seed was Christ. Joseph believed in Christ. And also Joseph knew these other little things that were added. And all through the experiences of Joseph. Can you just imagine Joseph being down there in Egypt? Here he came. Can you imagine Joseph wondering, well, are they going to stay here 400 years? Can you imagine Joseph now coming to the place where he's the prime minister and he rises to great power? And according to our calculations, he died at 110 years of age, so he must have been the prime minister and a ruler in Egypt for at least 80 years. That's not quite one-fourth of the 400 that had been promised so far as their sojourn in Egypt. But Joseph knew that God had told Abraham that they would go and that they would be afflicted in Egypt. And can you imagine Joseph, the prime minister of Egypt, saying, yes, they're not afflicted now, I'm feeding them. They're not in trouble now, I'm taking care of them. And as long as I stay in Egypt, I'll take care of them. I'll look after their little ones as long as I'm alive. But do you know some of the things that Joseph knew in his own heart? And Joseph, as he read the word and knew the experiences, Joseph knew perfectly well that when he passed away and was removed from the scene and he no longer was in a position to protect his people, that there would rise up a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And he knew that there would be affliction. He knew that there would be trouble because God told Abraham there would be trouble. And Joseph wanted his bones to stay in Egypt. Joseph wanted the generation that would rise up after him who would be in slavery and who would be under the hard taskmasters that the Pharaoh put upon them. Joseph wanted these people to say, well, Joseph's bones are down here and he told us to keep them here until we were taken out and we were to carry his bones with us when we left. And the bones of Joseph, the bones of Joseph in Egypt was a ray of hope and a seal to a promise that God made to Abraham. Just think of the children of Israel 100 years after Joseph was dead. Just think of the children of Israel 200 years after Joseph was dead. Just think of the children of Israel 300 years after Joseph was dead. Just think of the children of Israel 375 years after Joseph was dead. Pharaoh came with his demands. Pharaoh came with his insistence that something to be done with these children of Israel. They're too many. They'll make league with our enemies. They'll rise up and they'll take over and they'll actually occupy this land. And as their troubles came, and as the bondage fell upon them, many a mother gathered her little children about her and say, well now, sweetheart, don't you worry. We've still got Joseph's bones down here, and we're going to carry them out when we go back to the land of promise. Oh, I'm not exaggerating this. I'm not stretching it. It's here. There's no question about it. The presence of Joseph's bones. Now we're told that Joseph was embalmed and he was placed in a tomb in Egypt. I'll get into that some next Sunday night. There's no question but what all the wisdom of the Egyptians in these matters of embalming applied to Joseph. And Joseph was mummified. And his mummy lasted 400 years, 350 years, some area in there. He had a treatment given to his body, so when they carried him out, here he was. And the dead bones of this man was a constant testimony to the suffering one that someday God would visit them and they would go out of Egypt back to the land of Canaan. Beloved, would you just stop there a minute and look into that? This was a testimony to the little ones growing up. This was a testimony to the mothers who told their bedtime stories in the evening time.
This was a testimony to all the children of Israel that there was a man of faith whom God used to deliver them once, and that God would raise up another man. God would raise up another prophet. God would raise up someone else who in his own blessed time would lead them out of Egypt, and they would go back to the land of their fathers. Oh, it takes faith. But these people had it. And they had some ground for that faith. At any time, any point, you take your Bible and put your hand down upon it. It makes no difference whether it's Genesis or Exodus or Numbers or Leviticus or whether it's in the Psalms. You lay your hand and begin to open and expound that book at that particular point. You can see the things which inspired faith. You can see the things which encourage the sufferings of the people. You can see the things at that point which gave unto them that which they needed to enable them to be faithful to Jesus Christ, their Savior. God has always had His witnesses, and God has always had His men, and God has always had those who would believe in Him and who, because of their faith, would do certain things. And Joseph, when he was a dying, made a prediction concerning the deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he made them giving an oath concerning his own bones, that they would carry his bones out of Egypt. There's some other things here I'd like to develop for you. But I see that I can't do it. But did you ever see one man's bones mean so much? Oh, the impact. I wonder where they put those bones in Egypt. He was buried in a coffin or sarcophagus. I just wonder. Now, Maxine and I wonder where it was. Oh, Egypt loved Joseph. They must have given him one of the biggest pyramids down there. I don't know. They put him somewhere. They honored him. That Pharaoh who was used of God to recognize in Joseph all these wonderful gifts of God. What kind of a sarcophagus? What kind of a tomb? What kind of a remembrance did they have that stayed there for these years, waiting for the day? And every time somebody passed by, the Egyptians said, oh yes, that's the Hebrew that saves us down in the days of famine. Quite a story, wasn't it? But the Hebrews come along, and they looked over there and said, Joseph's bones are in that place. One of these days, we're going to take them back to the land of promise with us. And his bones being there in that sarcophagus was a constant reminder to them that God had told Abraham that after their sufferings, He would take them out. And Joseph, the prime minister, had made the prediction that when they went, they were to take his bones with them. You'd think, after all that Egypt had done for Joseph, after everything Egypt had done for the children of Israel, spared them and taken care of them, that they'd at least like to leave some memorial back down there in Egypt in memory of these things. Don't you think maybe Joseph should have said, let me bury my bones in Egypt, and then when you go back, and the whole world will be reminded of the fact that Joseph was buried in Egypt, and he had a great sarcophagus. Beloved, just as certain as I'm standing in this pulpit tonight, the day is going to come when we'll find out that the great tomb, some great tomb, was given to Joseph. We'll find out. But Joseph didn't belong in Egypt, and he knew it. Joseph belonged with the people of God, and he loved it. And Joseph would not stay in Egypt. He wanted even the last remnants of what might be considered him to be carried back and to be buried in the land of their fathers, with Abraham and with Isaac. And with Jacob. Joseph's faith was greater than his position. Joseph's commitment to the people of God was greater than the honor of Egypt. That's it. And it'll always be that way with a man who has faith and with a man who believes in the promises of God. Somehow or other, when you get to this point and you're thinking and you see all the angles of this, it just opens up and you see faith, faith, faith. You come into Moses, and oh, how Moses picks up the story. Here's the bulrushes, here's the little lad in the little pitch boat. He lands in Pharaoh's daughter's house, and you see God moving. And in his blessed providence, God always gets somebody up where the ruler is, you see. Joseph got up where the ruler was. Moses gets in where the ruler is. In the providence of God, he's working in these regards. And then you see the day when Moses, in all of his wisdom learned and all that Egypt could give him, he esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. And he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt. These great men loved God, and they said no to Egypt. These great men of faith, they put their confidence in what God had promised and what God had said. And they said no to the greatest empire, the Egyptian kingdom. They said no to it. We will go with the faithful and with those who believe. And that's the choice that we've all been making. I'm finished with Egypt. I'm finished with the world. I'm finished with its plaudits. I'm finished with its praises. Give me Jesus. Give me the Son of God who will raise the dead. Give me the Son of God who can give me all that I need to endure the trials that may come upon us while we're here upon this blessed earth. Give me Jesus. You can take the world if you want to.
But isn't it interesting how a preacher in 1963 can take a little passage like that, turn over to Hebrews 11 and pick out a text, and turn over to Exodus 13 and pick out a text, turn back to Genesis 15 and pick out a text and put all four of them together and see the way this thing opens itself up. And Joseph wanted to be counted with the people of God, even to the extent that they'd pick up his dead bones and carry them with him. He wanted to be identified with the people of God.
Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, this marvelous book, this wonderful record, we know it's inspired. And we thank you that thou hast given us this last touch about Joseph. Next Sunday night, as we see the great esophaguses of Egypt and the pyramids and the monuments, give us another touch. Give us another vision of a man of great faith, and that he wanted his children, his grandchildren, his great-great-grandchildren, and everybody else to remember him, not as the Prime Minister of Egypt, but as the one who delivered the people of God and stayed with them all the way. Oh, God, bless this message to our hearts. Strengthen our faith by it. May we be concerned about our children and our grandchildren. And may we too have the same spirit, the same faith of Job. For Christ's sake, amen. Well, when you hear me expound that, you say, what in the world is Mr. McIntyre going to do next Sunday night? Well, you just wait and see, beloved, because I found some other things about this tomb, this coffin in Egypt. And I invite every one of you to come back here next Sunday night, and I'm going to pick it up right where we left off, and I'm going to go on, and you'll be utterly amazed at what I'm going to show you next Sunday night, just here in the Word of God. The last thing in the whole book of Genesis is they put him in a coffin in Egypt. That's where it ended. And we'll close our whole series next Sunday night with the coffin. I don't know whether I can bring one of these coffins here or not, but we'll have a coffin next Sunday night. And then the following Sunday night, we'll get the whole book together and we'll close this series. And remember, this place is air conditioned. So when it gets hot, just come to church. Remember that, everybody. Now let us pray.